Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Rain.
Beautiful rain. It's a lovely song. Are you talking about outside or are you talking in the markets?
Outside.
Yeah, it's been pouring with rain the last few days. The snow has disappeared and it's been, we've been deluged with a significant amount of rain. But we're okay because we're not doing anything or going anywhere.
England in January, not my favourite place at this time of year.
No, especially this January, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Okay, well, it was raining on the markets yesterday as well. Big falls on Wall Street, so investors showing agitation at the pace of COVID-19 vaccine distribution. And although it was expected, the Fed's comments weren't particularly appreciated either.
No, I think that sums up quite nicely. Saw a sell-off in stock markets yesterday. In fact, the US stocks dropped the most since October. Investors moving to risk-off mode as they reacted to the dire pandemic numbers and concerns over the speed of the vaccine rollout that could hinder the road to normalization, encouraging investors perhaps to rethink the speed of the recovery, certainly making them nervous against the backdrop of the extraordinary rally that we've seen in equity markets since the March low. S&P 500 up, remember, somewhere around 70%. S&P 500 was down 2.57% yesterday. NASDAQ was down 2.6%. The dollar jumped and Treasury yields slipped. Similar picture in Europe emerging. Stock 600 generating its worst day in 5 weeks. This is as the EU and AstraZeneca fell out over vaccine delivery delays. The euro fell off. The European Central Bank said they're underestimating the odds of a rate cut. Germany cut its 2021 growth forecast to 3% from 4.4%. UK announced new quarantine rules, suggested the national lockdown will last well into March. So lots of the markets to digest, certainly a weaker feel coming through markets this week, and that's going to continue today. Currently calling FTSE down 52 points, DAX over in Frankfurt down 52 points, CAC 40 in Paris down 28 points.
Okay, let's dissect the Fed's meeting in a little more detail. You've got a scalpel there?
Yeah, let's do it. Fed kept interest rates unchanged, no surprise there, near zero. Said it would maintain its bond buying program at the current rate, that's $120 billion per month, till substantial further progress towards its inflation and employment goals are achieved. What they did highlight was the fact that the US recovery has been moderating. The Fed, like other policymakers, have been keeping a close eye, we know, on healthcare progress and fiscal support as well. So we wait to see exactly how those two elements play out. There's certainly lots of encouragement on the fiscal side. In terms of vaccination, there's been some signs it's been perhaps a little bit slower than some analysts had been anticipating. But the still hope is that we'll get to herd immunity by the third quarter. We recently raised our growth forecast for the US economy, 6.3% this year. I think unemployment will fall back to 4%. That's on the expectation that that vaccine program will indeed play out. But there are downside risks to that. One of which, of course, is new COVID variants and vaccination delays may prolong the time to herd immunity and further weigh on activity. And, of course, Senate moderates on both sides of the aisle may further water down that stimulus bill. What does it mean in terms of the outlook for Fed policy? I think the Fed likely to keep rates on hold through 2023. Asset purchases continue at the current pace through this calendar year, followed by tapering and the end of the asset purchase program by the end of 2022.
Gosh, you're on the money this morning, aren't you?
I'm up for it today.
Got your boiler working yet, have you?
Boiler's working, lots of heat, we're in good shape.
Excellent. Right, Apple, you got an iPhone 12 yet?
I haven't got an iPhone. No. I think I'm on iPhone 7, to be honest with you. So I don't know who's got money for all these things. But certainly many people have, lots of them in China, it would appear. Apple posted a record profit, quarterly sales and profits beating Wall Street estimates as new 5G iPhones helped to push handset revenue, sparked a 57% rise in Chinese sales. Sales to the quarter that ended in December jumped 21%, came in at $111 billion, well ahead of market expectations. Market was looking for something closer to $103 billion. Pandemic hit consumers, increased demand for iPads and Mac computers. iPhone sales was really the highlight, though, came in at $65 billion. Customers upgrading their handsets to those iPhone 12 Pro, which they said sold very well. Number of active devices Apple have in the marketplace at the moment, 1.65 billion in the first quarter, quite incredible. iPad sales were up, saw strong growth in its services segment. Remember, that's App Store, iTunes, Apple Music and iCloud. Apple wearables doing well. That's watches, home speakers and AirPods. Growth in all major regions. but sales in China jumped $21 billion from $13.6 a year ago. Market reaction, I thought, was quite interesting, actually. Shares fell 3%. You often find this with Apple, it has to be said. A good run-up into the results and a bit of a sell-off, regardless of what the numbers really tell you. But it was a cautious outlook from the company, saying that wearables will decelerate in the current quarter. Services face a tougher comparable. Apple stock, remember, was up 20% in the 3 months going into the results, so perhaps a little bit of profit taking there.
I'd like to know what Apple's carbon footprint is. It's probably bigger than yours.
Mine's very low these days, to be honest with you. Don't drive, don't travel, don't go on a plane.
I mean, with Joe Biden making big noises about climate change, some of this consumerism presumably is going to have to be reined in within the next 20 years or so.
Well, two elements really for them to think about under a Biden administration. Number one, big tech. Will they face much more regulatory oversight? That's certainly been one aspect to the policy position the new administration appears to be taking, as you quite rightly point out. The other aspect is around sustainability and climate change and some challenges around that, which could feature through to many companies, including the technology ones.
And you better watch your step next time you come to Moloch, old boy.
Why is that?
Well, you know, you've been obsessing the hedge funds, haven't you, with your Reddit page?
Not me, but there's an interesting battle taking place between Main Street and Wall Street as retail investors take on the hedge funds. As you say, social media users, particularly from Reddit, have been encouraging investors to take on the hedge funds that have been shorting stocks. This means that they've been betting that shares will go down. Reddit users particularly have been focusing on GameStop. Its share price has risen dramatically from $20, I think, on the 11th of January to $146. So if you've been betting it's going to go down, then clearly you've taken a very big hit on the back of that. So some excitement around the social media space about how they can start to influence stocks. Be interesting to see if this is a theme that continues to develop or burns out and investors take a dangerous approach to their to the way in which they get money into the market.
Well, as Neil Spratley said in The Guardian this morning, if you think trading in Bitcoin is volatile, you should should have a go at that. But I mean, on a serious note, I mean, could it affect the way that hedge funds operate generally?
Well, we're in the very early days of this as a phenomenon, it has to be said. So whether this is a trend that continues, the question is, of course, it can swing back the other way quite quickly. And I think actually GameStop shares have been down somewhere around about 15% in the last session. So the firepower of many of these investors who are jumping on board will probably be limited. And no doubt some will be sucked in at the wrong time and may end up with some heavy losses. So I think you have to be incredibly careful to participate within this process. Fundamental investing is a much better way to navigate through economic and political uncertainty. These type of trading activities are incredibly speculative, and investors and hedge funds, dare say, could get hurt in the process. Probably hedge funds are in much better position to deal with that pain than amateur investors.
Absolutely. I mean, Pratley said that it's going to be on a mighty crash when it eventually comes tumbling down, and if you get caught in at the top, you could stand to lose your house.
Exactly right. So I think, yeah, you need to be focused on companies' fundamentals. Short-term markets can do a range of weird and wonderful things, but as I say, you don't want to be holding the parcel when the music stops on this one.
A halfpenny wisely invested in the bank, etc., etc., yes.
Quite right.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.36 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.21. You're going to get €1.13 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Speak to you tomorrow. Hank Pott from Potts and Barclays.